This morning, I'm starting a series that's going to kind of be in two pieces. Piece one is on the power of our words. And I'm breaking that up. This morning, we're going to talk about the power of our words, and we're going to look at the wisdom literature, right? Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastes. Then we're going to look at the things Jesus had to say, right? And the Gospels, right? And the power of words there. And then we're going to look at the rest of the New Testament. Right? And then once we have a biblical foundation and understanding of words, following this, I'm going to teach a couple of weeks on prophecy. Because I think there's oftentimes, unfortunately, in the charismatic Pentecostal church, kind of a misunderstanding or misconstruing or wrong perspective of what prophecy is in the New Testament and in our lives as New Testament believers, how God speaks and ministers to us through the prophetic. And so this series is going to run us for a few weeks because I'm not in a rush to move on, right? I want our community to be a community that understands the impact of our words, understands the influence of the things we say out of our mouths to one another, to our families, to our greater community, in prayer, all those different ways. Our words matter, right? And so today, at times, it might seem redundant. And it might seem redundant because there is so much teaching on words in the book of Proverbs alone. Almost every single chapter in the book of Proverbs talks about words or the tongue. And so I had to pick and choose and kind of narrow down because there was so much there just in that one book. And that didn't count Psalms and that didn't count Ecclesiastes. And so we're going to be predominantly in the book of Proverbs. And you know that in Proverbs, oftentimes the writers, whether it was Solomon or the sons of Asaph or others, when they would write, they would give you the positive perspective and the negative perspective. Right? Someone who controls their tongue is like this. Someone who doesn't control their tongue is like this. Right? We're going to see that. And so in a lot of what we're going over today, we're going to get two sides of the same coin. Right? In a lot of different ways. But it's important to me that we understand this. Because I think Christians, in a lot of ways, are way too loose with their lips. I think we predominantly justify in a wrong way things like gossip and stuff like that, guising it and wrapping it in spirituality, and that's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong, right? And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to set that standard as a community according to what we see in the living word of God. And so we're going to begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 18. Right? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Right? Those that love the tongue on the side of life, and those that love the tongue on the side of death, right, will eat of the fruit that it produces. And we know scripturally a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit, right? And so Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14 also talks about this, right? It talks about this. From the lips, right, from the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. From the fruit of their lips. So we now see twice here in Proverbs, he equates words in some way to fruit or gifts or different things like that, right? From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. Right? So what are some of those good things? Remember, everything in Scripture is God-breathed. Right, from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord gave us the living word, right? He gave us the fullness of Scripture as a guide for us in our lives. And it's so important that we understand that everything in here is God-breathed. So there isn't anything there that's there by chance, right? And it's so interesting to me because as we see this, and I'm going to break it down for us in a super unique way this morning because I just think it's so awesome, right? In the book of Proverbs, words are equated in different ways to honey, right? Same thing in Psalms. They're equated to honey, right? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and healing to the bones. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. Right? And then Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14, right? Look at it again one more time. And what does it say? From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things. Right? From the fruit of their lips, they're filled with good things. Right? And the work of their hands brings them reward. Well, let's look at, right, what is one of those good things? I genuinely believe that honey was not used here just because it's sweet. I believe the Lord used honey here as an example to us because of the benefits of honey. I've talked to apiarists and people that raise honeybees, right? And people don't realize the benefits of honey. So I just pulled out four of them. There's so many. But I pulled out four this morning because I see the impact of honey in connection with words, right? One benefit of honey, right, is it promotes wound healing. Honey promotes healing. If you've been wounded or hurt, you can put honey on that wound and it will help it heal more rapidly, right? But what does Scripture say about words? Proverbs 12, verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Right? The tongue of the wise brings healing. So when other people are being reckless with their tongues, when other people are being loose with their tongues, when other people are spouting off at the tongue and doing damage and hurting, as a Christian, you and the words of your mouth can be released and bring forth healing and help and benefit to those that hear it. Right? Your words are intended to heal the wounded. As a believer, your influence on a hurting world around you, your speaking to them about the truth of the Lord, your calling people to account over errors and sins and choices that they're making, you can help them be healed. And as a Christian, that's what we're supposed to do. Right? We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to help those who are hurt get healed. And so with our words, what are we doing? Right? How are we handling the things that we're saying on a regular basis? Are we too loose with our tongues? Right? Or are we more reserved? Are we wise? Are we careful so that what we say doesn't do damage, but it brings healing? I mean, even this week as we were redoing the bathrooms, you know, my dad had been here with me all week. We worked in there ripping up the tile and sanding down the floor and doing all that stuff. And then on Friday, Gary and Larry and Michael came in and Chip came in and we started re-putting back all the bathroom dividers, right? And it was not easy, right? It was actually unbelievably difficult because all of the little screw heads in there are only intended to be put on one time and never removed and put back on again, right? And so as we're all in there going through this together, we're all like frustrated, we're all annoyed, and we would all start like in different little ways, like saying things that would like tip towards the negative or like kind of like getting so frustrated. And then other guys in the room would start like, no, careful, don't say it like that, right? Watch your words, right? Like, let's be lifting each other up. Let's be happy. Let's be like supporting one another. And it was so funny to me because literally as we're all in there, and I was one of the ones that at times was getting super frustrated, right? Because we had been going all week on those bathrooms and I was tired and I was getting annoyed. And then one of the guys would be like, no, don't say it like that. Or no, don't talk about it like that. And I would be like, oh yeah, that's right. I need to not talk about it like that. And then I would laugh on the inside because I would go, and on Sunday, I'm talking about words. On Sunday, I'm talking about what comes out of our mouth. And I'm in here and in this moment, I'm so frustrated. And it was just funny to me on the inside, like going through that and hearing that and listening to the way that the different guys were like cheering each other on and saying like, no, no, we can do this. Like, let's just keep going. Let's keep plugging along, right? Because our words are intended to heal. The second thing words do, right? The second thing honey does, it provides nutrients. It provides nutrients, right? And what do we see in Proverbs 25? Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Right? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The value that that brings, right? The provision that that brings. Our words literally help in life. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to show some illustrations of some different things. It's amazing. Studies have been done on the power of words. Right? There's a tremendous Christian leader years ago that wrote a book about a study, right, over plants and people speaking negatively and cursing plants and people speaking life and positivity over plants and watching the impact of human words on nature and how the things that were cursed died and the things that were spoken well of lived. Right? There's other studies that have been done about water and the effect of human words on water. It's tremendous. And our bodies are made up of mostly water. God intended it that way, right? Our words bear weight. They bear influence, right? They can bring healing. They can bring nutrients and provision, right? Or they can destroy and tear down. Number three, right? Honey improves heart health. Honey's good for your heart. Now, not too much, right? Don't go excessive and go crazy with honey, right? All things in portion, right? But genuinely, honey is good for your heart. Your heart is built up, your heart is improved because of what's in honey. And Proverbs shares this, right? Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge. Right, but the mouth of fools gushes folly. The tongue of the wise, right, adorns knowledge. Right, we are built up, we are strengthened, our lives are improved when we are speaking life, when our words are bearing appropriate influence over one another. And this is the thing, at the end of the day, right, like it's a choice. Right? It's a choice. Every word that comes out of our mouth is a choice. And we can choose for those words, right, to be life-giving and uplifting, or we can choose for those words to be belittling and cutting. But you have to remember, the writer of Proverbs, right, there's a reason he focuses on words so much, and I genuinely believe it's because he understood the massive impact of words, the massive impact of the tongue. And what it can do in people's lives. I've watched as couples, I even in my own life, I'll just use Sharon and I as an example. When we were younger in marriage, you know, Sharon and I would like kind of banter back and forth with each other. And we both really, really tipped towards like extreme sarcasm. That was our go-to with one another, was just really aggressive and extreme sarcasm. We loved each other. Right, we've always had a good marriage, right? 18, 19 years this year, like we've always had a really good marriage. But we didn't always speak well or honor each other in the way we spoke to each other. And I remember years ago when we were in Florida, my parents come in town, and on the first night of their visit, my wife and I, like everyone's hanging out in the living room and we're all chatting together. And my wife and I realize, oh my gosh, my parents like think we have a bad marriage because of our sarcasm with each other. And my mom and dad are like trying to do this like intervention to save our marriage. And I was like, oh wait. And so Sharon and I, like the next day we went for a walk and we were like, is this really what they think of us? Like, do they really think we have this bad marriage? And we were like, oh my goodness, if that's what they think, what do other people think? If that's the way they view it, what do other people view it who hear the way we talk to each other? And we realized, like, we have to change this. And so we started, and it took us a while, right, to get away from that aggressive and biting sarcasm and to like really like speaking that level of just care and love and life over each other. But what we found was it actually drew us closer to each other. As we would work on those things, it gave us the opportunity to speak more and to call each other to like that greater level. And in doing that, it only built our marriage up. It only strengthened our marriage. And so if you're in this room, I would challenge you, if you are married, right? How do the words of your mouth, how are they received in the ears of others that hear you speaking to your covenant partner? What's the perception of the world around you when they hear you referring to the person that you've left all others to commit to above and beyond any other earthly person? Right? Because scripturally, you're a representation of Christ in the church. Are you talking to your spouse the way Jesus talks to you? If you're not, I would challenge you this morning to begin to work on your words. Begin to work on the way you communicate and value your marriage so that it honors the way Christ values you. Right? May we be that model to our culture and our community in every way. May we be those that set that example. Number four, one of the things that honey does, honey is a natural antidepressant. Isn't that awesome? It's been proven that some of the content in honey literally improves the mood of people that consume honey on a daily basis. And there have been scientific studies that have been done. I've looked through it to confirm these different things. Right? It's awesome to me to think about the fact that the way honey, right, is an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety is the way our words should bring people out of depression. Right? It should be us as believers, whether it's those words worshiping the Lord, right, that brings us up, or whether it's our words cheering each other on, right, calling each other up into more, speaking love and life over one another, right? What are the impact of those words? Are they a depressant or are they an antidepressant? Because listen, I've heard plenty of Christians say things about other Christians that are super depressing. I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room that has heard a Christian say something really depressing about another Christian, right? But what we should say is things that brings them out of depression, right? A lot of believers say things that cause anxiety in others when what we are, should be saying, what we should be calling up is out of that anxiety and up into more. And we're going to look at kind of a long segment of scripture here in the Psalms. As an example of this, Psalm 19, right? Verses 7 through 14, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Verse 8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May these words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart." Well, hang on. What's he speaking out and what's he meditating on? The things we just read about. The laws of the Lord, the fear of God, the statutes of the Lord, right? Those are the things he's speaking out. The precepts of the Lord, those are the things he's speaking out. So here, right, the psalmist is saying, Lord, may these things be pleasing. May the way I'm saying this be pleasing to you. May the way I'm doing this be pleasing to you, right? The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Right? The psalmist understands the impact and the influence of these different things. Right? In the same way that with honey, our words are sweet, they give nutrients, it gives us healing, it provides for our heart, it brings us out of depression. All of those things come with good words. All those things come with uplifting words. All those things come with right words. We also have to know that the Lord stands against, and his heart is grieved by the other side of that. Right? Negative words, bad words. And listen, later in this series, I will get into actual cursing because scripture's super clear on that, right? Don't be confused, right? Don't be confused about cursing. The Bible is abundantly clear on what words should come out of believers' mouths, right? But here, we're talking about words that bear influence, words that bear impact. And Proverbs, right, speaks of this again, right? But it warns us. Right, Proverbs 10:19 says, sin is not ended by multiplying words. Right? How many of y'all have gotten yourself into a tough spot and you realize the more you talked, the deeper your hole got? Right? To the point that maybe your significant other, a coworker would go, you want to take any of that back? You want to restart, right? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, yes, please. Can I get a mulligan? You're like, yes, please. Can we go back to square one, right? Why? Because the prudent hold their tongue. The prudent hold their tongue, right? Sin is not ended by multiplying words. It's so tremendously important that as believers, when we open our mouths to start talking, we understand the end result and the impact of what's about to come out of our mouth. We have to lay hold of this. We have to like set our hearts and our minds to understand how important our words are. Because now we're going to see in the book of Proverbs that the Bible actually talks about something God hates. Let's look at that together. In Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Right? So we're about to see a list of things God hates and finds detestable. Right? So what is that list? Number one, haughty eyes. Number two, a lying tongue. God hates and finds detestable a lying tongue. Right alongside that, hands that shed innocent blood. Right? We would think, oh yeah, the Lord totally hates that, but right alongside it, he hates a lying tongue. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Right? In verse 19, this is a big one, right? Proverbs 6 says, right, do you have it? Bummer. No worries. I'm just going to read it to you here. That's why I keep the word of the Lord on hand. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in a community. The Lord hates and finds detestable a false witness and a person that stirs up conflict. Now, Some of you in this room may go, well, a false witness, right? Like that's someone in court, who's saying something about someone else. That's one aspect of a false witness. But do you know, if you look in the Hebrew, right, a false witness is so much more than that in the Hebrew language, right? A false witness is not just someone in a courtroom, right, that openly lies. A false witness is someone who spreads damaging information about another person. Woo! My Lord, how many times has a man or woman of God gone to someone else and been, well, you got to pray for so-and-so. I heard their spouse isn't being faithful. I heard they got money trouble. Well, you got to be careful around so-and-so now. I heard that they're into it with this other person in the church. That is a false witness, and God hates it. Period. Stop it. Don't wrap it in the guise of being spiritual. Knock it off. Biblically, God says knock it off. The Lord uses the words of your mouth. And so if God can use the words of your mouth, church family, so can Satan. So can Satan. And so often, people want to justify it, right? To have something to talk about. They want to justify it to be the one that's in the know on things. And it literally grieves the heart of the living God when you do those things. And this is the thing. You may say to yourself, well, I don't do that in public. I don't talk this way or that way about someone out in the open. But do you know that it has the same influence even behind closed doors? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Do not revile the king even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the sky may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Whoo! Hold on a second. Biblically, what do birds of the sky represent but the spiritual realm? Biblically, what does Bible talk about, right? What does the scripture talk about with winged creatures and things like that? So you're telling me, Pastor Farrell, that even things I say in private bear an influence on people that I'm talking about? Yes. Absolutely. They do. So for the love of the Lord, please stop. Please stop. As Christians, we've got to be better. We have to be more Christ-like in these things. We have to set our hearts and our minds after the Lord so that we don't fall prey to the enemy by attempting to falsely spiritualize what is not godly stuff. We have to be so wise. Listen. We know the influence of words because we can pray for someone here on a Friday night that's not in this room and see them healed wherever they are that we're praying for them. So if our influence in the spiritual realm can bear that level of weight on behalf of the kingdom, what can the demonic do with negativity and foul words and things like that? And you've probably witnessed this in your life, not even realizing it, right? When a bunch of members of your family talk about someone in your family in a negative way, but you never talk to them like that, and all of a sudden you start seeing now that they don't want anything to do with you, or they're all weird around you or whatever, and you're like, I don't know why that's happening. It's because so many people behind closed doors are spewing and pouring out all of this negative talk over them that it's actually influencing their heart and their mind. And the Lord is saying, no, 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 I have so much more for you. No, 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 I have so much better for you. Call them up. Call them into life. Call them into more. Years ago, when Sharon and I lived in Charlotte, when we were dating, she worked at an Italian restaurant. And the manager of that restaurant had a very effeminate kind of way. The way he dressed, the way he acted, it just tipped towards effeminate. And other employees that Sharon worked around, they would talk to each other about him. Oh, I know he's this, I know he's that, da, da. And people would even say things like, oh yeah, I've met his boyfriend, and it was just talk. Just nonsensical talk. No one talked to him that way. But people talked around him that way. And one day, church family, in conversation with that manager, Sharon asked him, hey, do you have a girlfriend? Are you married? You know what? And he's like, No, I'm not married, I'm single. And she was like, well, are you interested? You know, da da da. And you know what Sharon found out? Sharon found out that he had been engaged to be married to what evidently was an amazing young woman, and she was killed in a car accident before their wedding. Killed in a car accident before their wedding. And he, in his own heart, largely held the idea that there was only one person out there for you, and his one was lost. So he was going to live the rest of his life single. And Sharon realized, oh my gosh, he's not gay, he's not bi. This is someone now who believes they've lost the love of their life and is no longer even interested in other people. And so Sharon began going around to other workers and saying, I don't think that's the case. I don't think he's gay. I don't think he's bi. I think he's interested in girls. And she would have other people start hey, you should, when a table of young ladies would come in, she would go to a waitress or a waiter and say, hey, you should mention to the manager that this table of girls is over here and have him come by and say hi to them, whatever. He began dressing differently. He began talking differently because the people around him started saying different things. Even as an unbeliever, the weight and the influence of that team, and it was all because of one person chose to begin to be different, realizing that what was going on wasn't right. And saw the influence, saw the impact of that over his life. And it was awesome to see, and I was so proud of her. When she came to me and told me what was going on, I was like, oh my gosh, babe, you can be a difference maker in this situation. You can have an impact here. And for us as believers, church family, the world is crazy enough, right? You can't turn on the news without hearing nonsense. And I don't care which way your nonsense leans, may it be extreme left, extreme right, or whatever, way down under. I don't know. But there's just so much that's just regularly being spewed out. The other day there was a commercial on TV, and I can't remember now what it was for, and it was just all this, and Finley looked at me when the commercial was over and goes, Dad, it's just a bunch of words. And I was like, that's right, Finley, but they're trying to add all those words to woo you and influence you into using this drug or going to see this film or watching this show or whatever. And it's like we're constantly bombarded by words. It's so overwhelming. And so many of us have very little actual quiet and silence in our lives. And when we're always, those words are always pounding on us and we're always hearing them, it begins to influence. My daughters have this one secular song that we hear sometimes on the radio that they love to sing along to, but there's one word in it, right? It's not even a foul word, but in our home, it's a word we don't use, right? And so when they'll hear it out someplace or whatever, they replace that word with a positive word when they're saying it over each other instead of a negative word. And it just, even in my own heart, I was like, my seven-year-old gets that this song, right, has a negative word, but then when she says it out of her mouth, she wants what people hear to be positive. And as a dad, I find it cute and amusing, but I'm also really proud of them for realizing the influence at 7 and 11 years old of the things that are coming out of their mouth. And so, for us as believers, we should also be realizing the impact and the influence of things that come out of our mouth. And the wisdom literature is full of so much about this. I just challenge you over the next couple of weeks, read a couple of Proverbs a day, right? Just a couple of them a day and see all of the teaching that's there over your words and the impact of your words and the influence of your words. Next week, we're going to look at what Jesus talked about, right? Because Jesus taught on the power of our words. And we're going to see directly from the living God what that meant, what that does, how that impacts us. Matt, can I get you to come back up? I've got one more verse this morning, and I just want to close and pray over you. But as we go into this series together and then out of this into the prophetic, it's so important that we understand the impact and the influence of words. Because then when we get to things like words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and the prophetic, things that are directly connected to thus saith the Lord, it can really, really bear an influence on people. It can really, really impact people. And so we have words in our everyday life, and then we have words in the kingdom of God. Right? Because so many of the gifts that the Lord gave for the growth of his church are things spoken. Some things aren't spoken, but a lot of the gifts are things that are spoken. And so when we wrap something in thus saith the Lord, how are we handling that? What are we doing with that? And it's important to me for Bethel that we wrap it and people understand it as closely to Scripture as possible. It's tremendously important to me as we move forward in being an openly Spirit-filled church that people know when they come in here, the things that they hear, the way things are said is going to bring life and joy and strength and uplifting, right? Doesn't mean we don't call sin sin. No, we do. We absolutely do call sin sin, right? But we call sin sin in a way that people want to leave it and move into the things of God, that people want to let it go because of its impact on their life. But Psalm 141 in verse 3, the psalmist says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. If you would, stand with me this morning. I'm going to close and I'm going to wrap this 141st psalm in prayer over us as a community. And if this morning the Lord put his finger on some area of your heart in concerning how you've spoken to your spouse, how you've spoken to a family member, how you've spoken to a coworker, a neighbor, right? If the Lord is putting his finger by the power of the Holy Spirit on your heart today, don't ignore that. Ask the Lord how he wants you to handle that. Right? Is repentance before him enough, or do you need to go and ask for forgiveness? Do you need to apologize? Do you need to make adjustment on something that's going on in a relationship in a way to where it truly honors the Lord? So Lord, I pray over our community today. And I pray that, Lord, you would set a guard over all of our mouths. I pray, Lord, that the living Spirit of God would be between our mind and our lips. That, Lord, you would speak into our hearts, that you, Lord, would call us up into words that are life-giving, words that are healing, words that provide for those that are listening, words that bring people out of depression and into joy and freedom. That, Lord, you would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit to each and every one that's here today. And that, Lord, you would call them closer to you. Lord, you don't do this through condemnation. You do it through conviction and change. And so, Lord, anywhere we need conviction, bring it today by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can change to be more like Jesus. Help us, Lord. Where we're weak, help us to be stronger. Where we lack wisdom, Lord, help us. If we don't know how to correct a situation, Holy Spirit, come and speak and direct that we would know what to do with the next words we speak concerning those things. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the joy of being together in this place. For those that volunteer in this house, Lord, when we come back in tonight, may there be a celebration in our community over those that are giving and pouring out. May you refresh and pour in. We thank you for the joy of being together in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.